Listen live with Mornings with Michelle.
Presented by Southwest Boulder and Stone.
Talking about the landscape industry's hottest topics, designs, and guides directly to you.
Good morning. My name is Michelle McLeod, and I want to welcome you to our show, Mornings with Michelle, produced by Southwest Boulder and Stone here in Fallbrook, California. It's about 11 o'clock on Friday, April 8th. And today I want to talk about green products. And when I say green products, what I'm talking about is things that make your garden grow. So it can be soils, it can be mulches, it can be compost, it can be amended soil. This morning we're going to be talking to Lori Finley, who is our horticulturist here at Southwest Boulder and Stone. And she knows more about soil and what to do with it and what not to do with it than anybody in the world. Good morning, Lori.
Morning, Michelle.
Couple questions that we'll start out with. I basically want to ask her about what the different products are, how they're used, and what sizes they come in, and also what not to do with them. So I'm going to sort of turn it over to Lori, but again, listen to what she has to say because she knows a lot.
Okay, well, this time of year, when people are planting vegetable gardens, they're especially asking a lot of questions about our two soil products, our amended topsoil and our compost. And a lot of times they get confused about how to use those two.
Okay, well, plus also tell us what's the difference between the two because I don't know.
Our amended topsoil, it starts kind of just like it sounds. It starts with a sandy loam soil, and that's about 60% of the mix. And then they amend that with 25% fir shavings, 5% manure, and 10% mushroom compost. And people that plant gardens are really particular about knowing about all of these ingredients. And we're really fortunate to be working with a soil specialist who is also working with an expert in composting and creating soil mixes, a gentleman that works with people that can create soil mixes all over California and then all over the United States.
Is this a product that the nurserymen would be using?
So
again, the reason I say that is because if a nursery's going to use it, then it's good enough. I assume it's good enough for me.
Yes. Nursery people could use this. And this amended topsoil, the important thing to know, the difference between the amended topsoil and the compost as far as usage, the amended topsoil would be something that you could have your raised planter bed that a lot of people have at home, and you could just dump that amended topsoil in that box and plant directly in there.
Okay, for not worrying about burning them or anything.
Yeah, because it's all, the man who makes our soil, he is very scientific. It's more scientific than people know. Temperatures have to be perfect for the destruction of the bad things in the soil, like the pathogens, which cause diseases of plants. So the temperature's got to be right for that. And then it's got to be just not quite hot enough to hurt any of the good guys, all those little microbes in the soil that make everything better for the plant to grow. So it's very scientific. And so when it comes to us here at Southwest Boulder in our yard, it is ready to be used, not dangerous in any way. It's going to help your plants hold moisture, hold on to nutrients. It's like the right tilth. That's kind of a old school word.
What is the word?
It's tilth.
How do you spell it?
T-I-L-T-H.
That's a
and
good
one.
And
that's sort of what you would grasp when you're digging your hands into the pile and feeling it. It's got a really nice texture. It doesn't stick together when it's wet, so it doesn't make a clay pot.
It's not gooey.
Uh-huh. It's not gooey, and it falls apart when you touch it, so it's like the perfect texture.
Okay. All right. Tilth. That's a new one. I got to write
that one down. And then compost. You don't want to ever fill your planter box with that. That's 100% organic matter. There's no sandy loam soil in there. So that's just to amend the soil you have. Like, let's say you don't have a planter box. You want to plant trees. So you're going to go and dig the hole for your trees. And that pile of dirt that you have, soil, you have on top of the ground, you're going to add about 10% of our compost to that pile, mix it all together, and put that back in the hole.
Okay, so what if I thought it was really a great idea to use nothing but compost? Will it kill everything?
Yes.
Because it burns it?
Long-term it will. It's not going to burn it, but what's going to happen is that it's going to hold too much moisture.
Okay.
Because it's like let's say you can picture a bag of peat moss. Most people know what that's like. Mm-hmm. And it's if you get it wet, it's going to be like a wet sponge.
Like a sponge, okay.
It's not going to allow any air particles. So you, in your soil, you want water and air.
Okay, well, now that you've talked about soil, let's step back and give us a description of what exactly is soil. What do you mean by that?
So there's basically three different types of soil. Sandy soil, silty soil, and a clay soil. There's other kinds in other parts of the country. You know, some people have peat soils. We don't have to deal with that here. And saline soils. Luckily, we don't have to deal with that. But most people know what sand, silt, and clay is. A sandy soil sounds really good, but it's going to drain too quickly. You know, in your every soil, you want little pockets for air and little pockets for water. Sandy soil has too many air pockets, so it's not going to hold on to nutrients or water very well. If you have a, and it's going to feel real gritty. So you'll know if you have a sandy soil, it'll feel real gritty. If you have a silty soil, it's going to, when it's damp or wet, it's going to feel a little bit slick. And that's going to have really tiny particles compared to the sand. It's going to hold on to some nutrients and the water, but usually being the particles are so small, it's going to actually hold the water too much. So that's not good either. And then the third kind, the clay soil, that holds the nutrients the best of all the kinds of soil, but again, has the tiniest particles of all, so it's going to stay wetter than all the other ones. So, and the way you could tell if you had that, if you dig a soil out in your garden and you fill it up with water with a hose to get a foot deep, and the next day when you get up in the morning it still has water in it, you know you have a clay soil and you're going to have to do some things to make it better.
Does it rot your roots?
Yep.
Okay.
I had that happen. I didn't know my neighbor had a broken sprinkler on his side, and it wasn't water coming through, but it was going down in the ground on his side and then subbing over on my side, and it killed two of my trees before I figured it out.
Okay.
So that was a real bummer.
What about now sandy loam?
Sandy loam, that's the gardener's delight. Mm. That's what you want. If everybody could have that, everybody would be happy. And that's got the best portions of sand, silt, and clay. The textbook would tell you 40% sand, 40% silt, 20% clay, but it's something like that. And that would be a soil that if you got it wet and you scooped up and made a little ball out of it and you just sort of tapped it with your hand, it would fall apart. But it's not going to stay like a clay pot, and it's not going to sift through your fingers. So it's sort of in between, so it has the best of both worlds, holds on to all your nutrients that you feed it with your manure or your compost, and then it also lets the water percolate through, and all your earthworms are happy, and all your microbes are happy.
Okay, well, that brings up two things. Earthworms I want to talk about in a second, but how do I go about finding what I have?
There's a couple different ways. One way is the real gardener is going to want to do this because you're going to get your hands all dirty. You can just simply do it by feeling it. Okay. If you get it wet, not too wet, but like you're going to make a little ball out of it, and you push it out of your hands, it doesn't stick together. It just kind of falls apart, and it feels real gritty that you have a sandy soil. And if you can squish it out and make kind of like a thin ribbon about an inch long, you have like a silty soil.
Okay.
And then if you have a clay soil, you're going to be able to make like a ribbon of mud about 2 inches long before it breaks off. And that's kind of just a hands-on way of doing it.
The simpler the better.
Yeah.
I like that. Lori brought up worms. I want to do a real quick tip on making your own compost with worms. And all you need is a plastic bin with a lid, like a trash can with a lid, bore some holes in the lid. You need a pound of red wiggler worms. And actually, worms can eat up to 3 pounds of food a day in ideal conditions. And basically what you're doing is you're mixing the leaves or your brown mix, 2/3 brown mix, 1/3 scrap, kitchen scrap, and basically don't use dairy products and meat or spicy foods. Use eggshells and orange peels and coffee grounds, and mix it in. Make sure it's mixed down under the surface so animals don't get to it. And before long, you're going to see the wonderful worm poop or the worm castings, which are incredibly nutritious fertilizer. So it's a real simple way to make a quick compost. And I think I forgot to say, but make sure you wet the material, the brown material. You can use newspaper, you can use leaves, or straw, but be sure to wet it, because obviously it needs moisture.
Then flip it over.
Oh, turn it.
Yeah, turn you have it to every turn day. It
every, okay.
Yeah, a little air in there.
Okay.
Earthworms will be happy.
So, Lori, let's talk a little bit more about compost.
Okay. We talked about using it to plant trees by adding some compost to your existing soil. That could be the same thing that somebody might do in their vegetable garden. And let's say they don't have a raised bed, they just have a flat ground like a farmer. So they would dump the compost on top of their soil, maybe 2 to 3 inches, depending on the quality of soil they're starting with. And then they would rototill that compost in. So they are, in that very sense, amending their soil. So that's the most common soil amendment is compost.
Okay. Now, clue me in about fertilizer. Has anything you've talked about have fertilizer in it?
Technically, yes. Not the fertilizer that somebody would buy in a bag, like Triple 15, but it's natural fertilizer in that the first shavings that we use in our soil mix, they break down and release nutrients. And then in those first shavings is also the manure, which contains nutrients that get break down even further in the soil when your plants are growing. And then the mushroom compost, those are other organic nutrients that come from that too.
Okay. When I was in high school or college, having my own garden, I used to buy steer manure. That's absolutely a no-no.
I think the time when that's not such a good thing is because of the sodium that's in it, the salts.
Mm.
So I think a small amount's okay, but you don't want to have too much. That's why in our soil mixes, you have a small amount, like 5% in both of our products, so you don't have too much salinity for the plants to deal with.
Okay, so it sounds like we've covered both the compost and the amended topsoil. And if, Lori, is there anything else you want to talk about in those?
Probably not today. People have specific questions, they can always come in and talk with us.
Oh, that's absolutely perfect. Because remember what I said, she knows everything. Okay, let's move on to mulches. Lori, tell us a little bit about mulches. What's most popular, how they're used, the sizes and colors.
Okay. Sometimes when somebody's looking for a mulch, they're only looking to make something pretty. That's important too, because not everybody in every little situation would you want to have pebbles or a rock. You want something softer. Maybe you like that natural wood color.
Lori, that's blasphemy. You know we sell rock. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I know. I've talked to those customers, though, and they say, no, it's too harsh looking. I want something soft. And they like the color of the bark, too. I know one of the most popular ones with color is the Supreme Walk-On bark.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cedar, so it's got a nice warm color to it. It's not too red. It's not blonde. It's sort of in between, a reddish brown. And that one's really popular for another reason. It gets really good coverage, and it has a really neat look to it because it's got shreddy pieces, and it's got little chunks. So it has a real interesting texture. And because of the different sizes, you get really good coverage.
What size when you talk about sizes? Talking about inch? 2 inches?
Yeah, there's things in the Supreme Walk-On that are probably down to like a half an inch.
Okay.
All the way up to maybe 3 inches of little shreddy pieces. Okay. So it's real interesting looking.
Okay.
And the coverage, getting good coverage is good because you want the most for your money.
Oh, okay.
Like we all do. And then one also made out of the cedar would be the Montana bark. That's probably the most well-known one. It'd be something that you would see at a home center in a bag, a medium chunk bark.
Okay.
And people like the look of that. It's more robust looking. And because they're bigger pieces, they last a long time.
Because
bark products, they are going to decompose over time.
No, I know a guy talked to Greg Rubin about it. He likes the gorilla hair just specifically because it does decompose.
Right. And so good things happen under your soil because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But people that don't want to top their bark as often, they might want to use the Montana because the pieces are like 2 inch and bigger pieces.
Okay.
That lasts a long time. And then you brought up the gorilla hair. Its claim to fame is it's the best thing to use if you have a bank or a slope. Typically, that's a big pain in the neck for every homeowner when they have a slope at the back of their house or the front, what to do with it. Usually, it ends up to be the ugliest part of their landscape.
Wait a minute. That's where the red apple comes in.
Yeah.
When we moved to Fallbrook about 25 years ago, red apple was everywhere.
Oh, my gosh, yes. If you like bees, that's especially good.
Yep.
Especially good. And now, though, we want to trim back on the plants because we don't want to water so much. And even red apple doesn't need too much, but you still got to water it. And then when it starts to get old, it's going to want to kind of slough off the hill. I noticed that. So if you have some plants and you have some area with bark, and if it's really steep, you're going to want to use gorilla hair. Because once you put, even if you don't use weed fabric, which we do recommend, it's just going to slide off. All the little chunky barks, the Montana bark, even the Supreme Walk-On, there are playground chips that are really small, great for playgrounds, not so good on a hill. The wind and the rain is just going to, they're going to end up all at the bottom.
Slip and slide.
Yep, and it's going to be now, bare areas everywhere.
That brings up weed barrier fabric. Would you recommend weed barrier fabric under all wood mulches, or does it not under gorilla hair, or what's your thought on that?
If you want to have an area that's truly low maintenance with no weeds, I always say do it right the first time. Because the ugliest thing to me is having pretty rock ground cover or a pretty bark ground cover with weeds sticking through it.
Okay.
I think it's well worth the money and the time to put the weed barrier down because, you know, we tell people put the mulch as thick as you can afford it. Well, most of it's 2 inches. Okay, so the dogs run through there and they push it all away, and then you've got some little areas where the bark moved away. Tiny ray of sunlight hits that, little seeds sprout up, and you have a mess again.
Okay.
I say you use the weed barrier.
Okay, but the only problem is I have that at my house. I've got Mexican beach with weed barrier underneath, and guess what? I can see the weed barrier. So you're absolutely right. It has to be thick enough so that you don't see black underneath.
Exactly. You have to cover it all the way because you know how weeds are. Mm-hmm. They only take a little speck of sunlight to be all happy, and then they're going to push up through your weed pot.
I think later we'll do a podcast on weeds.
That sounds good.
How much fun they are.
That sounds good.
All right. Okay, well, thank you again for being with us today, Friday morning. And I think we're going to change the name. We're going to be called the Rocky Hort Show. Michelle and
Lori
at the Rocky Hort Show. In closing, all weirdness aside, I want to thank Lori for giving us a lot of good tips today on the green products and let you know that information on upcoming events is going to be on the website, on the blog page. And any questions, visit us at southwestboulder.com or send to either Lori or me at marketing@southwestboulder.com any questions you have on green products or red products or blue products. We don't care. Have a great weekend. See you next week.